The Spectator magazine is home to wonderful writing, insightful analysis, and unrivaled books and arts reviews. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online, along with a free £20 John Lewis or Waitrose voucher. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher. Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by Freddie Gray, our deputy editor and the host of the Americano podcast, and Lucy Fisher, the Whitehall editor of the Financial Times. So David Cameron is stateside. He has already stopped by Florida to see Donald Trump, and he is now in Washington meeting various Democrats and Republicans. There are a few different topics on the agenda, but what he's really pushing is Ukraine aid, trying to make the case to a divided Republican Party that it is worth offering more to Ukraine despite some reservations. Freddie, have you got any readout so far in terms of how that Trump meeting went? The government are being pretty tight-lipped.
No, we haven't. I asked Roger Stone, who's a sort of long-time Trump consigliere, about it, because he's a Florida resident too, and his reply was, is David Cameron still alive? So I don't think he's aware of it. And I think generally Trump world, in as much as it knows about David Cameron, is very suspicious of him. Steve Bannon, who is still a very influential figure among Trump advisors, would regard Cameron as a sort of quintessential globalist, America last globalist. And so I think it's interesting that Cameron went to go and see him, because I think it shows that he knows he's on the wrong side of the Republican leadership now. He messed up in his last visit to America when he wrote that piece saying that Americans shouldn't be as weak as Chamberlain, who was called British. So I think what Cameron is doing is he's trying to show a bit more respect to the Republican leadership that he didn't really understand when he went up for.
And Lucy, just on that, I mean, we'll get into, I suppose, the substance of what's going on with these conversations, but you've got an interesting piece in the FT this week on David Cameron and how he's rebuilding himself on the world stage. But in terms of his personality and Trump's, can you see the two having much in common or getting on? I think he's been pretty rude about Donald Trump and his biography back in the day.
Well, yeah, you're right. And I think we know that Trump is thin-skinned and very brittle. So such criticism doesn't go down well. On the other hand, I think David Cameron, as a former prime minister, he does exude leadership. He exudes sort of alpha male presence, you know. And when I've spoken to diplomats, both British and overseas diplomats, they say that when he walks into a room, he has a real presence. He has this status. People kind of, you know, look up, they kind of want to meet him, they want to shake his hand, be introduced. And I think Trump does respect kind of fellow alphas, as he would see it. So on that basis, I'm not surprised in one sense that he agreed to the meeting. I am quite interested in the sequencing of it. You know, I do wonder, did David Cameron, flag with the White House that he was going to go and see Joe Biden's, rival for the presidency later this year in the contest before, you know, heading to Washington and meeting with Antony Blinken, the U.S. Secretary of State, who's part of the Biden administration. It does seem perhaps a little unorthodox a way to kick off a meeting to the U.S. But, you know, we've heard from Foreign Office insiders trying to make the case that, you know, there's a lot of precedence for both American leaders meeting UK members of the opposition, including Antony Blinken meeting with Keir Starmer in February this year, and also for sort of British leaders meeting other presidential hopefuls. But just the sort of how kind of politically savvy an idea that is, I'm not quite sure.
So perhaps alpha meets alpha will have been a great success. But Freddie, just for our listeners who perhaps for some unforgivable reason don't regularly listen to Americano at the moment, but will after this podcast.
There are a few of them, I heard.
Look, we won't get too much into the detail of the difference in the viewing figures or listening figures, sorry, more precisely.
Dwarfed by Coffee House Shots.
But can you just set out where the divides in the Republican Party are? Because ultimately, this is all coming down to the fact that there is, you know, around $60 billion worth of Ukraine aid that has not managed to go to the floor in terms of going through. Mm. And David Cameron's trying to nudge it along without interfering too much. So who does he have to win over?
Well, he has to run over Mike Johnson, who it seems, we don't know, it could be happening as we speak in secret, but as far as we know, I think Mike Johnson has so far avoided him. And if David Cameron fails to meet the Speaker, Republican Speaker of the House in Washington, that's quite a big snub and would show just quite how badly he fell out with them in his last trip. So I think David Cameron misread the Republican mood, because there are a lot of Republicans who are on board with funding Ukraine to the hilt. But the problem for them is they're not in the majority. They're certainly not in the congressional majority anymore. And the overall congressional majority that the Republicans have is now blocking that bill. And unless Mike Johnson can be talked around, then it's not going to happen. And the only person who could probably talk him around is, of course, Donald Trump. But he's not going to, unless it's done in a very sotto voce way that enables Trump to distance himself and say, I was against this all along.
And Lucy, on that Mike Johnson meeting, I mean, I think it's fair to say, at the very least, the Foreign Office were not in a position to confirm it, as in it wasn't as nailed on as some of these other meetings. So it is possible it happened, but they're not confident to say in advance. Do you think that would have been the most important? And what about this Blinken meeting? We're going to get a press conference today.
Yeah, I think on the Johnson meeting, it will be embarrassing for David Cameron if it doesn't go ahead. You know, he made this video for his social media from the NATO foreign ministers meeting in Brussels last week, saying, you know, come on, we all need to persuade America to unblock this military aid for Ukraine. You know, we need to pick up the phone to Speaker Johnson to make it happen in Congress. I'm off to the US next week to see him. So if the meeting doesn't happen, I think it does look fairly embarrassing. Although, you know, I expect we'll hear a lot about, you know, the diaries not aligning. The meeting and the talks with Antony Blinken, I think, will be really interesting in the press conference too. On the Middle East and the situation in Israel, Gaza, as much as Ukraine, I think we're expecting David Cameron maybe to talk a bit more about the continuation of UK export licenses for arms sales. At the moment, it doesn't look like there's going to be any change in that policy, despite Cameron's very kind of ardent warning to Israel at the weekend that the UK support, you know, for the nation is not unconditional. You know, we also heard from Oliver Dowden, the UK Deputy Prime Minister, suggesting that, you know, it is legitimate that the UK is continuing to sell arms to Israel. The UK is not going to publish its legal advice. But I think we might just hear a bit more about the government's thinking in this press conference or during the US trip from Cameron on that front.
And Freddie, I suppose the immediate aim of David Cameron is to release this Ukraine aid and to get to try and help move it along without having any more Republicans tell him to kiss my ass because the charm offensive has not worked. But longer term, if Donald Trump does enter the White House, is also going to be, you know, whoever is foreign secretary, probably at this point, not David Cameron, if we're being honest. It's going to have Donald Trump's ear. What do you think that is going to mean more generally for Ukraine if there is Donald Trump as president, even if this aid goes through today?
Well, probably David Lammy, wasn't it? Who has said he would be willing to work with Donald Trump, despite calling him a Nazi sociopath. What will it mean for Ukraine? Well, the Washington Post had a pretty big report, I think, over the weekend, saying, you know, outlining what they think Trump and his advisors' plan is for Ukraine. And it seems as though it's saying to Ukraine, you'll have to give up Crimea and the regions of the Donbass that you've lost, pretty much. And Trump thinks that both sides want to save face, and therefore there's a way out, very Trumpian way of thinking about it. And he thinks, as everybody knows, that he's a brilliant deal maker and that he'll be able to get it resolved very, very quickly. For Cameron, of course, that means that the rest of Europe is not safe because Putin will never stop, et cetera, et cetera. And so they just, you know, Cameron and Trump have extremely different ways of looking at the world, particularly about China, I would say, because Trump's whole strategy is to peel Russia away from China. David Cameron famously has been chilling for China ever since he stopped being prime minister. And therefore, that has a much more multilateral view of the world.
And Lucy, just finally, if, say, and obviously there's lots of hypotheticals in this, we get to a situation where there's a President Trump and there is that almost compromise, might be the wrong term, but this idea of having to have a negotiated peace where Russia gets more territory than it had previously. Do you think that's something a UK government, whether Tory-led or Labour-led, would get behind, just in the sense that we do tend to follow America on most of these decisions?
I think it would be very difficult, but precisely for the reason you outlined, that, you know, we have tended to cleave very closely to the US in our foreign policy, it could prompt a slight kind of crisis in the UK's foreign policy to split off from the US on that. I do think it's worth stressing that, you know, it's not necessarily in Russia's interest to have a kind of a deal imposed on it from the US. And I think that's, it's been interesting, some of the mood music coming out of the Kremlin suggesting that Putin actually doesn't want to see Trump necessarily win the presidency for that very reason. But I think there is a lot more planning and thinking going on about the possibility of a Trump 2.0 presidency across the rest of Europe, you know, the longer term guarantees that the rest of the European members of NATO are now speaking about and that were discussed last week, I think show a real shift in gear about the way European allies are thinking about the future of their own defence in their own backyard in case Trump, you know, returns to the White House.
I think also, just to add, I think it's worth considering that for a lot of European statesmen and Western statesmen, Trump's possible deal with Putin will give them a good off-ramp from the Ukraine crisis, because he can actually end it, whereas they don't seem able to end it. And yet they can say, this is a great mistake, but the conflict will be ended.
Thank you, Freddie. Thank you, Lucy. And thank you for listening. And if you do like this podcast, please rate and review. If you don't like it, you could also rate and review, but would prefer it if it was the former.
Or listen to Americano.
We're going to edit that out.